From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, which is the most connected community in the world based upon a culture of love, like helping one another. And on this show, we tell the stories of winning. And we feel like that's kind of like our contribution to showing some love to the city, because you don't often hear these success stories or these stories of real world entrepreneurs. So that's what we do on the show today. And at the heart of the Backyard Advantage, as I mentioned, is people. And today on the show, we have somebody that has helped the backyard a lot. She's even helped GFX, one of our annual events. And so I want to thank you for coming on the show. I've got Fengru Lin. She is the CEO and founder of Turtle Tree. So we're going to find out about her company, about her personally in her road to entrepreneurship, because I don't know you, so I'm going to have to ask some basic background check questions, even though I should disclose that I am a small-time investor through the SAC Angels. You're a venture-backed company. But you're actually in a space that is really being revolutionized right now, from what I can tell. And so I want to find out about how you became a thought leader in this space. But why don't we start by just your background?
Sure. Thanks for having me here. So I came from the tech space on the business side, starting my career in tech. Used to work for Salesforce, Google. And 6 years ago, I started Turtle Tree, and that was how we were born.
Wow. Okay, so you were working at Salesforce and at Google, and you were in some business development type role?
Yeah.
Okay, so think of it as sales. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to make sure I ask you about some of your opinions on those spaces, too, before we let the show go, because I'm sure you still follow it at some level.
Oh, yeah.
But what inspired this? Because that seems like a huge departure. Now you're building what I'll call a medicine for our body. Yeah. And so what inspired you to build this?
Yeah, food is medicine. But the story was a little bit more fun. Back in 2018, I was still in Singapore working for Google. I was learning how to make cheese as a hobby. So I went up to Vermont, from Singapore to Vermont for a couple of weeks to learn how to make cheese. It was a fun experience. I wanted to make cheese back in Singapore because cheeses there are really expensive. And back in Singapore, we have no agriculture. So I had to go down to Indonesia to look for sources of raw, fresh milk. And over there are still a ton of problems around contract farming, antibiotics into the cows. So as a result, the milk quality suffers. The mozzarella couldn't stretch. There is lack of a lot of nutrients in the milk. So I gave up that whole cheese idea. But back then, there were a range of companies that were just coming out. These are companies like Memphis Meats, Blue Nalu, who are using cells to make meat and seafood without the animal. So I started thinking, hey, what if I use similar methods to make milk? And I started to talk to some scientists, talk to some industry folks, and one door after door that opened made me realize that this is something that's plausible, and I could leave my job and explore this.
Wow. Okay. So make sure I ask you about Singapore too. But so before we quit, because I want to understand more about the country. But you now are based out of Sacramento, or out of AgStart and Woodland, John Sellup's space there. That's a really cool space in Woodland for anybody who's building something for in the agricultural space at some level, in the startup realm. So tell me about the journey. Okay, so I see kind of like what inspired you to maybe take the first baby step and the doors start opening. Tell me about what happened.
Yeah, so initially, early days, because of the whole milk challenge, I wanted to create milk, full functional milk, all 2,000 different ingredients in milk. So we devised this method to extract mammary cells, breast cells. We multiply the cells, and then we induce the breast cells to produce the full milk.
Oh, interesting. Is this from a human?
Human and cow.
Okay.
So you can actually isolate human cells from human milk.
Okay.
So we had a huge human milk donation exercise back in our lab in Singapore. We went through that whole process, had early success, and started chatting about this technology to different dairy folks, different industry experts. And very, very soon as we started having this conversation, we realized that milk is very complex. Within each cycle of milk, every mother's milk is different, and there's 2,000 different ingredients in milk. To be able to characterize everything would take FDA a long period of time.
Okay.
And milk is cheap. Unfortunately, milk costs $2 to $4 a gallon on the market, and to be able to get the price point is something that is pretty far out for this technology.
Okay, so you're saying milk is cheap or is not cheap?
It's very cheap.
Oh, it is very cheap. Yeah. Okay.
And it's difficult to get to that price point using biotech.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay, got yeah. it.
And so folks started telling us, hey, why don't you start thinking about the expensive stuff in milk? One of the most expensive ingredients is lactoferrin. It trades at $1,000 per kilogram and has a ton of benefits around gut health and immunity. You should focus on that.
Mm.
And that's where we hone in our resources around this region to hire the best scientists here.
So why, okay, from Singapore to Woodland, give me like, how did that decision get made?
So if you do research, just computer research around milk, milk experts, one of the biggest, best milk schools in the world is UC Davis. And lactoferrin that we're producing is a lot of research by Bo Lonerol, Dr. Bo Lonerol. He's one of our advisors. And he's also known as the father of infant nutrition. So a lot of different sources around science brought us here. And today we have a number of collaborations with UC Davis. We have we're also supporting a PhD student through a PhD program mm-hmm. while working on turtle trees experiments and research.
Okay, so you have the AgStart facility, which I haven't seen your specific space necessarily in there, but I've been in there before. And then you have people working on this at UC Davis. Uh-huh. Are there other people or? Where are all the people?
These are the two areas that that we do most of research mm-hmm. internally. In parallel, we have also a lot of external innovation, working with external parties, working with contract research organizations. So most of the research is done this way. We have a team in Singapore as well. Singapore is known as the business hub of Asia. So our HR, finance, marketing is mostly based in Singapore.
Okay, so I might as well dive into Singapore just a little bit right now. I know very, very little about Singapore other than my son was in the Marine Corps and they did a little trip to Singapore and he was amazed by how clean it was. It's like a crime to spit on the ground, things like that. It's like he was amazed. He loved it. And I watched some of the financial news and, you know, read a little bit. And I have heard that you are a very well-managed economy. So mm-hmm. So the weakness is you don't have any cheese. You can't do the cheese. But everything else about it sounds great.
Yeah, everything is imported. We are a tiny country.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
6 million people and we are stacked high. We are a city of high-rise buildings. So about 2019, the government put together this goal for Singapore to be able to get to 30% of our nutritional needs within the country to grow our own food by 2030.
Oh, wow.
So they had all the different government organizations aligned to try to meet that goal, include research organizations, the Singapore version of FDA, which is Singapore Food Agency. We've got ASTAR, the National Research Institute, the universities, all the different government organizations, the investment offices, all aligned behind this vision.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see a lot of the novel food products first launching in Singapore.
Okay. Are they, is the government or some entities associated with the government an investor or part of the business? I mean, did they back you at some level?
So we did win the Temasek Livability Challenge back in 2020. So that was undiluted funding of $1 million, of $1 million on us. Outside of that, we had a lot of support from ASTAR. That's where we started the company, learning and growing with some of the researchers there.
It's called ASTAR?
ASTAR.
Okay, and that's a Singapore-based
yes,
organization? Okay.
Exactly. Government-backed research organization.
Gotcha. Okay, so, but they were supportive of you going to Davis because of the talent, and I guess California in general is pretty supportive of sustainability and things like that, and this kind of business, I would suppose.
At the end of the day, the technology that we are using, precision fermentation, it's very rare. There are very few hotspots in the world that have talent around precision fermentation. And this area happens to be one of the really good hotspots. It's an hour and a half away from San Francisco. A lot of big companies are there. We have Novozymes just around the corner. We have Genentech nearby. We have a couple of food companies, alternative protein companies in Emeryville. So it's a really good hub of being able to find talent and exchange ideas.
I wonder if you've met one of my other portfolio company founders. The company's Metrubials. Have you heard of them?
Yes.
She's making something out of, I guess, a milk-like substance. Yeah. And she came out of UC Davis, and it's for women's health.
Yeah.
As her first, I guess, product line that she's working toward.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's milk, right? So, yeah. UC Davis. That's interesting. I didn't have that kind of awareness. Okay, so... with this business, you get here, you've got some backing with some undiluted funding, which is nice. Obviously, you got a great idea. You've got enough to figure out how to begin the process of changing the world. Okay, walk me through like the next steps. You get here. Were there breakthroughs? Were there times when you were worried about going out of business? Like, I hear that from most entrepreneurs, these near-death type scenarios. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But you've done this pretty quickly. So walk me through this this journey and maybe some of the ups and downs.
Yeah, I think the journey, a lot of it is also entwined with what UC Davis has been able to provide us. So I want to double click on that.
Okay.
So the special thing about the milk research in UC Davis is it's a team of maybe four or five different labs around milk. So there are some labs looking at the structure of the milk, some labs looking at the effects of the milk proteins, being able to identify them, and then being able to do clinical studies, lab studies. So all of these labs working together in one location is what makes it so special. Like there are certain like bits and pieces in different parts of the US or different parts of the world, but this combined five labs is really what makes it so powerful.
Oh, interesting. And they just built out something called Aggie Square. Uh-huh. And I'm sure you've been, I assume you've been over there, and it looks like an amazing place. And one of my people that helped me start the Growth Factory, Monique Brown, runs the Connect Labs portion of that. And so I have to imagine that there'll be a lot of startups building great businesses, or at least launching great businesses out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to, did UC Davis, was there any funding associated with that, with what you did there?
So we didn't get direct funding from them, but the research guidance was immense. So we expanded from Singapore to the US, started out with a handful of employees, and we needed a lab. Mm-hmm. And guess who started his lab the first day we landed in
the US? No way.
Yeah.
John Celep?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We were one of the first.
Perfect timing. Perfect. I did not know that. I've been in there, so I probably walked right by your logo there, because I've invested into another company that's in there. And so I went down and we looked around a little bit. So,
yeah.
Okay. So, ups and downs. Tell me some of the good and bad on this journey. Because maybe we should start with where you're at now. Because I was prompted to ask you to come on the show because I saw some article in the Business Journal. You got recognized for some progress that looked significant, and so I got a hold of John and had him connect us. But so I'm kind of curious, like, where are you now? And what's the outlook? And then, you know, I'm imagining that that's a long way from, you know, just a good idea.
Yeah. So maybe a little bit about the ingredient and lactoferrin, why it's so important. If you look at our food system today, a lot of it is built for scale, but not for health. So one out of two people worldwide have gut-related problems, and one out of three people have iron deficiency problems. Mm. And lactoferrin is able to address all of those different challenges and more.
Does lactoferrin, it addresses those challenges, but what does it do? Does it get rid of, I don't know, what is it, a gout? Or I don't know what these, I don't even know if that's a gut-related issue, but there are these gut-related issues. You hear them advertised on, you know, TV or the radio all the time, and everybody's got some kind of medicine for you to take. You're doing it in a more natural way, mm-hmm. I take it. But it does it fix it? I mean, does mm-hmm. it going to fix everything, or are there kind of like main pieces that it helps?
So lactoferrin is a food product. We try not to say it fixes something. It's okay. not out there to cure anything, but it helps you maintain the gut health, the gut microbiome, mm-hmm. as well as your iron levels. So what it does is really special. If you think about your gut, you have bad bacteria and good bacteria in your gut. The good bacteria is often people talk about prebiotics, postbiotics. Mm-hmm. This is very much taken care of, but people don't think about the bad bacteria. So what bad bacteria need to feed on is iron. And when you have iron in your gut, the bad bacteria flourishes. Lactoferrin binds to the iron and sequestrates it away from the bad bacteria that needs it to grow. So it allows the good bacteria to flourish more and taking it okay. away from the bad bacteria. And the lactoferrin is then capturing this iron and transporting it to your hemoglobin that helps to move from air, oxygen to your brain, to your muscles, help you with muscle recovery, helps you think better. It also boosts your immunity by overall supporting the gut and all of these different aspects.
Okay, so does it sort of help you digest the food better?
It helps you to grow the good bacteria that digest the food
okay.
better. So yes. it's a two-step.
Okay, gotcha. And then all of this works to get into your blood system. Or, you know, I know I'm like less than layman on this, but so it gets into the blood system, and that could help for cardiovascular type stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it feeds the iron to your hemoglobin, and hemoglobin is the carrier of oxygen to your brain and your muscles.
Okay. So, who is using it today?
Infant nutrition,
okay.
because it's so expensive. You need 100,000 liters of milk just to get to 1 kilogram of lactoferrin.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So it's replacing formula, or it goes into formula?
It goes into formula.
Okay.
It's one aspect of formula, and the most expensive formula. The vast majority of infant formula don't even get access to lactoferrin because it's so expensive. And now we are able to produce it without cow's milk, without the huge volumes of cow's milk. Mm-hmm. So we can now provide it to other infant nutrition and adult food, adult supplements, women's health, all these other applications.
Okay, so what stage do you have customers now?
Yes,
or
we
okay,
do.
You do. What yeah. Tell me about what's a customer look like? Is that it's a food manufacturer? It's an additive mm-hmm. to the food?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we work on a B2B and B2C model. On the B2B side of things, we have our ingredient in one of our customers is a coffee shot. They're called Cadence Performance Coffee. So it helps with endurance athletes being able to perform longer because of the immunity impact of lactoferrin. We also go on a B2C model. We just launched this year our own direct-to-consumer supplement brand. You can check us out at intentionaleveryday.com.
Intentionaleveryday.com. And now your supplements, is that a pill or is that some kind of food?
It's a capsule.
Okay.
Two a day, and it's targeted in women at women's health, but men can really benefit from it as well.
Why is it targeted at women's health versus men? Is that just a marketing issue, or is it specifically better for women than men?
We chose to target women first okay. because of the iron absorption aspect of it. Women during our period, during our monthly cycles, we have low in iron, and a lot of us feel fatigued, retired. So lactoferrin helps with that.
Okay. And now when people take the supplements, obviously it's a lot of times we take vitamins and it doesn't necessarily make you feel better. It's like, I took my supplements. I don't know. You don't think about it. Does it have an immediate effect, or is it just good long-term health?
It's good long-term health.
Okay.
And over time, you should be able to see your iron levels balance out.
Okay.
Some men have too high in iron. It helps to bring it down. Mm. Or folks who have low in iron can help bring it up. So it balances the iron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's and it's an over-the-counter thing, so
yeah.
it doesn't really need to be prescribed or anything like that. That's cool. So now you have to be a direct in your marketing. Now that you've got the product built and you've starting to create, I'm assuming like maybe more products or partnerships that create more products. Some of your business development acumen is probably coming in pretty handy right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Did you just launch the website that sells the product online?
Yeah, about 4 months ago.
Okay.
So it's pretty new. So back to your question around where we are today.
Yeah.
Today we're commercial, and we also got our FDA GRAS notification. So we are now full and open to sell in the US. There's a little bit of, if you guys are following the news, there's a bit of debate around self-GRAS versus GRAS. We're fully GRAS now.
I'm not sure I understand that. Fully GRAS.
Yeah. So GRAS is GRAS, generally regarded as safe.
Oh, okay.
So that is the FDA kind of stamp of no questions. Mm. You're good to sell.
Okay. So there's really, is there no barrier to what you, how you sell and what you, who you sell to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Today we're free and open, and we are the only lactoferrin startup or company in the world to have this approval today.
Wow. That's exciting. So is that what I read in the business journal then?
Exactly.
Is that what you had? Obviously, I didn't understand it. So with that said, what does that mean for opportunity in terms of growth and your vision and how it's, you know, really coming, you know, into reality?
Yeah, a lot of the big companies, the Nestle's, the Knowns, Unilever's of the world, they do need that full FDA GRAS. And now that we've gotten it, we have been accelerating on the conversations around the B2B sales.
Mm.
And on top of that, another good progress that we have made is we've gotten to positive unit economics at scale. And this has been incredibly difficult for the alternative protein space.
Where do you manufacture it?
Today in North America. Yeah, so it's we're still at smaller volumes.
Okay.
But at scale, at 100 metric tons, we are profit making today.
Oh, that is very cool. Congratulations. That's a huge hurdle. Now, would it go into, this product go into something like a health food bar or a protein? I like to drink these little protein shakes and eat these protein cookies that are probably unhealthy for me, but I eat them anyway because they taste good and they're, I don't know. They don't have any sugar.
they can go into all sorts of different foods, snacks, beverages, supplements.
Okay, they don't have a taste then to it. There's no taste.
No, the dose is very small.
Okay.
You just need 250 milligrams in a supplement dose or 100 milligrams in a food dose. So you won't really taste it in a full product or smell it. It's odorless, easy to blend in.
Wow, that's exciting. So what? Tell me about the vision for the company. Now that it can, it's got more freedom to grow.
Uh-huh.
What are your growth plans?
Yeah, I think growth plans are twofold. One is within the US, we want to really expand into the different larger CPGs. I would love to see lactoferrin being omnipresent in all of the food products out there. So much good benefits. It should really look like the next DHA. It can even fortify regular milk products.
Okay.
And beyond that, beyond the US shores, we are also talking to different partners in different countries, Singapore, Brazil, Japan, to expand into other jurisdictions.
Interesting, interesting. Well, you think about this, I've heard it be called an epidemic of the way that, you know, our diets are just, you know, horrible in the US. They could have this additive, if you will. Does something come out of the, you know, if you, what do you take out to replace, you know, with your stuff, or is yours just can get added to the existing recipe?
So we can get it added to the existing recipe, and I'll take milk as an example. So you would think lactoferrin comes from milk. When I drink my milk, I get lactoferrin. That's not the case, because in the pasteurization process, the lactoferrin gets denatured. So we do have potential customers wanting to refortify their milk product with lactoferrin.
Okay. So in the US, I'm wondering what the, obviously I think we're one of the most unhealthy, in terms of diet, unhealthy countries. And then we just brought in, you know, we have a new administration and he brought in Robert F. Kennedy. And I heard him actually speak. He came to Loomis, while he was running for president. And so I got to go over there and listen to him, and he's really concerned about what's in our food and that kind of thing. Is that a tailwind for you? Does that even affect you?
Yeah, we're seeing it's quite a tailwind, actually. Initially, there were some changes in the FDA, and we were a little concerned, to be honest. But they did push the ingredient through, and that was quite reassuring to see that the thoughts behind healthy, better for you ingredients, it's still being considered.
Okay. And now in terms of the product, it sounds like it can go into anything we consume. Is this product good in other ways besides food? Because it sounds like you decided to focus on food, but does this product work, with outside of, a human diet?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's really exciting. So we have one customer using this to help fight plant diseases, like olive tree diseases.
Wow.
Because it's antimicrobial, antiviral. So they would stick in some... inject the olive tree with lactoferrin.
Wow. And it makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
Hmm. And do they, that's not a direct, like if I have I've got a bunch of olive trees. So it's not and if let's say I had one going bad, it's not something I could inject in myself. I got to buy it from them or do I buy that from you? Or?
Yeah, you can buy that from us. The dosage would matter and depends on why the olive trees is dying.
True. I have no idea. They're good right now. So I'm just kind of curious as to, that's a whole industry of it, in and of itself. Okay. So plants.
Yep.
Obviously human food. I would assume dog food, every kind of thing that people are consuming. So what is it? I mean, what is it not? What could it not help that's alive? It sounds like it could help any living species.
A lot of the living species, people have been using it to help with aquaculture.
Okay.
It's been
aquaculture.
Aquaculture.
So what's that? Fish.
Fish. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And dog supplements. So the biggest producer of lactoferrin from cow's milk today is Morinaga from Japan, and they do have a pet supplement using lactoferrin.
Aha.
Skincare as well.
Skincare. That's huge.
Because of the antimicrobial properties again. So there are existing products now with lactoferrin that you can apply to your skin.
Okay, so now, if I'm hearing it right or understanding it right, your product is less expensive than the stuff that they're buying now that's derived from milk?
Over time, it will be.
Okay.
Today, we are matching market prices.
Okay, gotcha. And so, but the big differentiation would be climate?
Climate and animal cruelty. Mm-hmm. Animal, just because we don't have any animals in the whole process. And we had to circumnavigate the need for animal testing to get our vegan certification. So our team is pretty proud of that. Even in the alternative protein space, not a lot of products out there have that vegan certification.
Aha. So do you anticipate the health-minded person to stop drinking milk because I can get this in my Quest protein shake or whatever it is, potentially, because I really don't need the milk, or I can drink less milk?
I think it depends on why you're drinking milk.
Okay.
If you're drinking the protein, drinking it for protein, you would still need to get your protein shake or your whey powder.
Okay.
This lactoferrin protein is not—it's not like your macronutrient. It's not like the 42 grams of protein in a bottle of Core Power. It's a little bit different. This is a micronutrient, a microprotein, and just need 250 milligrams for the functional benefits. For your immunity, gut health. So it's a little bit different.
Okay. And I assume it's like no calories or anything like that. It's
very little.
And you sell it to let's say the manufacturer of the food, the CPG company. Do you sell that? Is it in a powder form or is it in? Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. So it's just a bunch of powder and they can just mix it into their cake mix or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. That's really
the powder is pink.
The powder's pink.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that... Why is it pink?
Because of the iron that it binds to.
Oh, iron is interesting. Pink. Uh-huh. Oh, I did not know that. Okay. Very cool. So the vision is, it's almost limitless.
Mm-hmm.
And you must have people that are really interested in partnering with you. And you're here at the Mark Haney Show, we're telling the world, but there must be CEOs or whoever who are the people that's the scientists at these food companies, who's approaching you?
So two groups of people.
Okay.
One is the scientists who are formulating the next product development product. Second are the business folks. I think if you think about the product development life cycle and building a market in a new category, we have folks like that coming to us because this is essentially a whole new category. Previously, it's all in infant nutrition. Now it's lactoferrin for women's health, lactoferrin for sports nutrition. Mm-hmm. So these two groups of people are who we are starting to talk with. And then they would bring up to the strategic teams or CEO.
Mm-hmm. Okay, along the way, what else did I not ask you about the company? Because I want to make sure I've exhausted the company and what you do. But what else should I ask you about
as far as that goes? I want to talk about my team.
Okay, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, my team is incredible. So you asked a little bit about the ups and downs of Turtle Tree. So last year was a very difficult year for us. We had to do a number of cutbacks on the team.
Oh.
Today we have 7 very resilient individuals in our team. And you can imagine cutting back down to a quarter of the team. Everyone is wearing multiple hats. And today our team is very robust. The executive team also took a pay cut with me so that we can stand in solidarity with the rest of us who are left. So I'm very thankful for my team for where we are today.
That must have been really difficult for you personally as the CEO to have to make such difficult decisions like that where so many good people are going, obviously so many people, good people are sacrificing, but to how to make these decisions and just the gut-wrenching feeling that must cause for you.
It was really hard. I had a career coach when I had to go through this whole process last year, and she really guided me through the whole thought process by thinking about if I don't do it, what the consequences are. And if I do this, what is the worst that can happen? Mm-hmm. So it got me to realize that this is the only choice. And a book I really enjoyed reading, or like I really learned a lot from, is from Andreessen Horowitz, The Hard Things About Hard Things.
Hard Thing About Hard Things, yes. That's a good book. I read that during COVID.
Oh.
I had a little, you know, worry that, you know, some of the things I was working on might go south, but everything turned out okay.
Yeah, that was a very good book. And I feel like at every stage of the startup life cycle, I can reread that book and still glean new learnings from it.
Yeah, that was a good book. What other good books are out there? Okay, The Hard Thing About the Hard Things. That's definitely good if you're going through something hard.
Yeah.
In terms of just helping you as an entrepreneur, are there other books that have helped you along the way in terms of guiding your success?
So I really like, there's this negotiation book. I don't remember the title of it, but it's written by an FBI hostage negotiator.
Oh, yeah. What is that book? I think I may have read it, or I listen to him on audiobook these days, but okay, yeah.
No, Never Split the Difference.
Never Split the Difference, yes, yes, I know that book.
That was a good one.
You didn't say The Art of the Deal, Trump's book. That's a good negotiation book. It's kind of old, but it's a thing. Let's see. Okay, so what else did I not ask? So I can see why you probably are so loyal to the people that stuck by you and then right back at you, because obviously I would assume that at some level, if the company does well and it's starting to show all, it's starting to blossom in many ways, that it's really creates new opportunity for the people that have, you know, for the people in the organization.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And but I talk to my team all the time about why are they still here? What motivates them? And even this difficult process is something that they're learning a ton from. Mm. So for example, my chief scientist, she came from more of an R&D space. She came from Merck KGaA, was working on therapeutics. So the food space is something new to her, but now she's also doing quality control with manufacturing. She is also doing logistics. Mm. She's doing manufacturing itself, working with our contract manufacturer. So she's wearing so many different hats, even regulatory, claims substantiation, all of that is covered by her. And this whole thing is a learning process for her as well. Mm-hmm. So good and bad, people who have stuck with us so far are people who are really valuing this whole learning experience. Yeah, I myself included.
Yes, yes. Well, I would imagine people, I think people undervalue what that is like. That if you go to work with for a company that has a big vision and it's successful, you learn through the difficult times. The whole process is kind of new to everybody, just about. So people, I think, undervalue that at some level, because when you, if you think of you, for example, you're working for Salesforce or for Google and, you know, making good money, a lot of security and that kind of thing. And maybe, you know, some of the people on your team had those type of jobs where they were really had a great life to, I'm assuming they took a pay cut coming from the corporate world, and it's definitely a risk to go to work for a startup because, you know, you don't get paid as much, and you have to derive your benefits in other ways. Maybe it's stock options or the learning opportunity or something else. But a lot of times people don't see, they can't see that. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we have a chance to share that a little bit, that there really is opportunity within a startup if you help it be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a whole family effort. Like, people are bringing their husbands, their boyfriends. Hey, can you help me with financial, marketing, quality? It's a whole family effort.
Really. Wow. Wow. Well, congratulations on that. Anything else on your company that we should share?
So for the next steps, we are looking for the best food partners out there to collaborate with us. So if anyone is listening, mm-hmm. is launching a new product in the health space, longevity space, women's health, we would love to have a conversation.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I have a few ideas on that. If they would be helpful, I'll share them after the show. And I think my business partner is coming down here as well, because we got a meeting at 2:00, and he might have ideas too with some of our other investments that are actually starting to show some fruit as well. And then also I'm invested into a couple of that are in food. Okay, so that's great. So that's awesome. I think we can definitely help with a couple of partnership ideas for you.
I would love that.
Yeah, love it. And if you're watching the show and you have partnership ideas, hit me up and I'll get you all connected. And I'm sure I'll share all this on LinkedIn and copy you. Okay, so I'm going to switch gears then, just as long as we're kind of getting to that. I want to find out what do you think about what's going on in the CRM space, right? With Salesforce. I mean, look at AI is doing to transform the workflows of an account manager, or as a, you know, somebody who's making sales. Yeah. It's amazing how the productivity gains that are happening right before our very eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of shakeups in the whole industry. I feel like in the B2B sales space, though, the human relationship is still very important. People want to dig into like the motivations of the company they're buying from, mm-hmm. not just buying a software. And I see myself acting that way when I am getting enterprise software for mm-hmm. TotalTree. So there is still that last bit where you want that human interaction. But the first stages of pipeline building, the productivity improvements, it's immense.
Well, I have to imagine it can help with the relationship as well, because I can picture the amount of work that a relationship person has, business development or sales, in the sales realm, using a Salesforce type product or Salesforce, that some of it's just cumbersome, busy. And it's like, oh, don't I have somebody to do this for me? If the machine automatically did it for you, yeah. Like, you could be talking to the customer more, building that relationship more with more customers.
That's right.
So yeah.
Yeah. So like, I mean, just even in my role now, if I am targeting, I don't know, a Danone or a Nestle, maybe their health sciences team, I would just get AI to build me the organizational structure of that team, and I can understand who I should reach out to and using what contacts.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's.
Do you use Salesforce or use a different?
We used to use Salesforce.
It's kind of expensive, from what
it's
I hear.
Extremely expensive.
We don't
expensive.
Use that. We use a cheaper model, but it works. So what about Google? So now I'm kind of curious on your take on Google. Obviously, what year were you at Google?
2020. 2020.
Okay, so they already had they become Alphabet yet by then?
Yes.
Okay, so they already had YouTube mm-hmm. and you know, all the different things that Google does. That now AI is hitting search, and all the different things that are happening in Google are being changed in a good way by AI. But you've also got new competition coming in associated with search, and you know, ChatGPT and OpenAI and all the other ways that you communicate and get data. Where do you see Google? I mean, are they positioned to be number one in that space?
I don't know about that. I feel like Microsoft has been making really good acquisitions across the board. But Google's Gemini is great as well. So I think to be determined.
To be determined. When it's changing so fast, when will we know? When will the clear cut leader emerge and be like, oh, those guys? It probably won't be a winner take all, but I have to imagine that there'll be a few big winners.
I feel like application focus is key. It's one thing to have like a generic tool that people can query and ask questions about, but the application of it, I don't know, like Grok for Tesla, we don't know how it's really going to impact Tesla, but the end application of how it interact with a specific use case, I think that would be key for each of them.
I heard Grok is now the smartest out of all of them.
I've heard that too, but we don't know.
Like, it's smart. They can have two different agents talking to each other, apparently. amazing, to help come up with better decision-making. Okay, so I'll leave you with the last ask is, could you share just some maybe words of wisdom to the aspiring entrepreneur, somebody that's out there maybe kind of at the beginning stages who might be watching this, words of wisdom or words of guidance associated with the journey that they're considering or now have started?
I can share a story.
Oh, yes.
When I first started the company, came from a business background. My previous co-founder was also a business guy. So we were talking to different investors in the Bay Area. One of the feedback that we got was, well, the both of you come from a business background. What business do you have starting a biotech startup? I will invest in you once you have a Nobel laureate on your team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We were taken aback. And over time, we started to recognize the value that we bring. We don't have a science background, but that also meant that we have a very open mind about different technologies. We're not precious about the early cell-based technology. And we could pivot, we could move, we could activate different resources and combine them to make things happen. So I think key to starting, at least for me, starting this company was finding the value proposition about for myself, what value I bring to the organization, and how I can support my team to do better.
Yeah, I think that's a great message for investors as well, for the venture capital people to not look past somebody who knows how to figure things out, which is extremely important. It's not all in the lab. Well, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for what you are bringing to the world in terms of health. And of course, we love that you're at AgStart and you're here in Sacramento and partnering with UC Davis people. And so I'm glad, and the Sac Angels. Mm-hmm. So I'm super glad that you're here.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage. And of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, at Mark Haney Show, and The Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.